Welcome to this edition of Surgical 411. My name is Pierrette and I am a quality improvement specialist at Ontario Health. With me today are members of the surgical quality improvement team from North York General Hospital, including Dr. David Smith, Nisquip Surgeon Champion and General Surgeon, and Maitri Panchal, Surgical Clinical Reviewer, and Linda Jusome, Program Director of Surgery. The North York team joined Nisquip in 2016 and they've contributed so much to the network. Both David and Linda have won the coveted Squippy Awards, David for the Most Engaged Surgeon Champion and Most Valuable Player, and Linda for the Most Valuable Player. Their Surgical Clinical Reviewer has also won awards for the Most Engaged Surgical Clinical Reviewer, and the team has been nominated several times in the categories such as Most Improved Team and Innovation. Semi-annual reports demonstrate the team's commitment to improve surgical outcomes, coming in with exemplary rating in many categories, including all cases morbidity, UTI, and SSI. Recently, the North York team embarked on an additional QI journey when they were chosen to be part of the multi-hospital impact trials. Maybe I'll ask the first question to David. Can you explain for our listeners exactly what the impact program is and how your team is involved?
Yeah, so thanks, Brett. It's IMPACTS is an attempt to engage surgery front lines in clinical trials in a new way of doing trials that are pragmatic, integrated into just the way we do things, really focused on pragmatic questions that matter to our patients, and look specifically at interventions that we're already doing in a variable way. And yet people maybe still don't know whether which is the best way. And so just trying to look at synthesizing knowledge or getting to evidence as to which way we should be doing those. That's really the essence of it.
Okay. When David came to you with the idea of participating in IMPACT and during a pandemic, how did you feel about that, Linda?
Well, honestly, I had my brow that went up. Everything, a new project or anything feels overwhelming during the pandemic. But I also knew that we need to keep quality going as a momentum. So when I heard the Sunnybrook presentation, which is part of the three hospitals, Ottawa, Sunnybrook, and North York, I was really interested about the trials versus the research. And I could, and it also had great synergy with our ERAS SQIP project. Mm-hmm. And I could see the quick results that could come from the trials versus research that could benefit our patient institution and healthcare. And I really thought the staff would benefit also to do something else and always the pandemic and COVID and trying to get back into the swing of things. We did do it. It was delayed because of, you know, the waves and all that, but mm-hmm. the momentum and I have to say that, you know, it was a great engagement from not just our team, because there's the team, but also the staff.
Awesome. That's terrific. So you've already made great strides in different types of improvements, quality improvements in your surgical team and in your hospital. Tell me about the IMPACT specifically, the IMPACT trials. Did this take your QI efforts to the next level?
Well, I can start. Yes, I think it did. I think that it brought the group together. It also opened our eyes to a different type of trials. But I see it too as an evolution between NESQIP, SQIP, and trials to mm-hmm. make those two, because I think that we're getting everybody involved into the same kind of work. And I think that's very encouraging. And I love the multidisciplinary. You got dietitians involved and pharmacists, and not just nursing and medicine. So I think it does put it to the next level. I don't know, David, if you have any other comments on your point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I think NISQIP really got us thinking about quality, taking quality data, and then identifying areas where we needed improvement and bringing in evidence-based best practice to fill those quality gaps. And I think over the year, what we were able to do was to drive that action based on NISQIP. And I guess what with Impacts, led by Dr. Paul Karanikolas, his life's work is really to look at, sometimes there is an evidence-based best practice to plug in those quality gaps, and we need to synthesize new knowledge. And if we don't do it at the surgery front lines, who's going to do it? And so I think what he's nicely done is sort of created these clinical trials that are really focused on generating new surgical knowledge where it is lacking, so that in the future, NISQIP best practice bundles will incorporate some of the products of these trials.
We're hoping you can elaborate a little bit more on those four trials that you're working on right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's what really stood out to me about the four trials is just how pragmatic they are, but also how well they align with some of the campaigns we've done in NISQIP over the years. So one of them is a clean wound or wash trial, and it's basically looking at what leads to the fewest surgical site infections after you close a wound. Is it doing nothing? Is it washing with saline, or is it washing with of iodine type solution? And many of us surgeons have practiced over the years just sort of doing some one or the other, but without much thought. So, you know, when you consider our SSI campaign with NISQIP and now looking at that more specifically, that was the one trial. We're also looking at coffee, and everybody knows how coffee can affect your bowel function. We all usually wake up and start our day, have our coffee, and yet surprisingly, length of stay in ileus is a major issue, so much so that our NISQIP campaign this year is looking at ERAS and ileus. And so in the impact trial with coffee, basically we're just randomizing patients to either get decaffeinated coffee, or just warm water to see whether one group has a shorter period of ileus. So that was our second trial. And the third trial is cryotherapy. I mean, hot on the heels of our Cut the Count opioids campaign, this trial comes along and says, you know, guys, a lot of people use ice for simple aches and sprains. And after surgery, we've really celebrated using Tylenol and Advil and trying to cut the count of opioids. What about ice? You know, could cryotherapy reduce our dependence on opioids even further? And so we're looking at whether ice packs could do that. And the final trial looks at, allows us to actually extend our QI work to our emergency partners. So the Parfait trial looks at whether antibiotics can reduce the incidence of perianal fistula after drainage of perianal abscess. And that's one of the trials that is actually something we're able to do with our emergency partners. Those are the trials. And as I say, they really, when you think of the over the years, like looking at SSI and with NISQIP, looking at opioids with NISQIP, looking at ERAS even now, like Linda said, they really align. They really build on each other.
These are really fascinating studies. And just looking back to when we started our infection reduction campaign, years ago,
we needed to actually, you know, look for studies and then use them as our best practice. But you're actually doing that groundwork for maybe our next group of change ideas, best practice change ideas. So that's really interesting to be in-house having those trials completed right within our own group. I want to take this to a little bit more granular level because we're looking now. I mean, this is how it's going to, this is great so far what we've learned, but how does it impact your staff doing these trials? And that's what we want to talk about. So I'm going to turn my question to Maitri. How did this impact your workload, Maitri? You already have a full deck when you think of all the all your SCR duties and your data input responsibilities for NISQIP.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Pierrette. So yeah, definitely it was, a lot more responsibility on top of the SCR workload that we have. But I feel like even though the onboarding was a little bit daunting, but I feel like it was really rewarding. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is that I feel like it challenged me to think on how I could use like custom fields to capture data that links NISQIP and impacts, because even though standalone they're huge and good program, but like synergistically it works really well. Mm-hmm. When I was discussing this with David, like we were able to like discuss how we can leverage NISQIP data from the existing platform and you know, connect it with the impact trial questions, such as like, you know, the primary outcomes collected through patient surveys, like how they are doing post-surgery, and that's the data we collect in the post-surgical 30-day outcome, right? So it was really a good experience for me because like we had a great support from all the team members. Despite the pandemic, I feel we were able to create a really good working group. And I think that was really helping and supportive.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I just want to add to what Maitri said was, you know, I can only imagine that an SDR with NISRIP might sort of say, oh my gosh, the impact work, Maitri was so helpful with us as we waited for the full-time SDR equivalent from impact. So there is a research associate in that role.
Oh, okay. But
until they were available, Maitri was just helping us to sort of get momentum, get onboarded, but not to be confused to think that this long-term is just added work. Maitri's been made a part of the team. But now we have our full-time research associate. So they look after all the impact stuff and the SCR is not expected to do that day-to-day work.
Right. That makes it a little easier for you, Maitri, to have some help there. That's good. So you partially answered this question already, but how have you managed to continue the quality improvement work to keep that momentum up despite the current climate?
I do remember, and Maitri and I were talking about how we started with team building. We had the team, like we already had that organizational support, and all those years of NISQIP sort of had iteratively sort of reinforced just the strength of our team, so that when it was time to onboard Impact, we knew that team was going to grow in size, as Linda alluded to. And we created a quality cafe, which was a virtual thing. And we would just meet really just to build relationships and make sure everybody that, you know, was on board and was heard. So I think that was helpful. But as far as the one thing, and I'll let Linda speak to it more because I think she saw firsthand just how devastating really the pandemic was to our staff. We made pragmatic decisions, and we were in tune with what the staff could and couldn't take on. And maybe Linda can expand on that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, well, the pandemic, you know, as much as it hit ICU and ED, and it's in the news, surgery's been hit very hard, not just because of the closures of the OR, but the redeployment of staff.
Right.
And we have had a lot of turnover staff, early retirement. So there was a lot of factors that went in. I think when all this happened and after you get over the shock of what's going on, you go, okay, what can we do and cannot do? So for the last 2 years, we've continued quality because for me, quality is a top priority, but we've also sort of tapered off the numbers. So when Impact came and it married well with the SQIP ERAS, you know, we put our energies into that. The cafes were good too to get people going because it was hard. It was like, oh my God, can I take this on? But what helped too was a consistent team, management, educators. If you don't have that, it's going to be very difficult to move ahead. Having also consistent surgical reviewer is also, like Maitri, was important, and to have a top-notch surgeon champion, because David, as you know, works very hard in getting everybody involved, going into the physicians departmental meetings and so on. So for me, having a consistent team was a key factor. And now the nurses, there was a lot of energy, you know, to educate too. And we have the research assistant to do that too. But it's the continuous thing because they're new. We had redeploy staff. Then they went back to the OR. Then they came back. Then there were people all over. So it has been difficult. But I think if we do not keep the momentum, very difficult to start all over again. I would say it's almost impossible. If we hadn't done that, I don't think Impact would have been as successful.
That's an excellent thought. And I'm just thinking you should be congratulated on how you prioritize quality, because it's going to impact your outcomes no matter what's going on around you. Keep that going. And one of the reasons that we chose Enhancing Recovery is it does support that pandemic recovery. So just thinking about other surgeons and surgical teams who maybe weren't able to continue the way you did, or maybe starting fresh again with new change ideas in the Enhancing Recovery campaign or other QI initiatives, what advice would you have for them? And I'm throwing this question out to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have to be kind to themselves and their teams. I mean, listen, it's not been an easy time. And I guess what I realized from talking to you, Perrette, was, you know, it's probably the case that many teams feel like they haven't done as much. But just maintaining through this time is an accomplishment. I think we need to celebrate that. Everybody that has learned the importance of empathy with their team and maybe not being so concerned about pushing a project forward because you can see your team needs time. I mean, I think probably if they reflect, they'll see that they did do that. So they have accomplished much. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as going forward, I mean, I think every project should be obviously informed by your own data, see what catches your eye, but as important, look for the where the positive energy is. Like if there's a champion that you know can get behind it and you can build out a team around that champion, start small and just work with that team. And you don't have to convert the whole program. Like you just need to keep quality conversations going. Mm-hmm. And the data will look after itself. I mean, this should be fun. It should be easy. And follow the fun.
Follow the fun. I think that's going to be a tagline somewhere. Yeah, I like that.
I think David's absolutely right. You know, you take on what you can. I don't know if you know, but we were supposed to start April 1st, 2021. And obviously, you know, we delayed it to October. So that was a conscious decision. Mm-hmm. I think that people have relied on that, I can't do it. It's pandemic. Bring more and more. And we have to look at it a different way. It's exactly that. What can you handle right now? And one of the reasons, like I said, it was because it was a synergy with ERAS. Three out of the four trials were already part of ERAS. We've been in ERAS hospital for many years. And so I felt as the director that the staff could handle it. Mm-hmm. I talk about the leadership staff because then they have to transfer that to the staff at the bedside. I'm not exactly sure we would have done it. We might have done it, like David says, a little longer. It would have been done, but maybe not as fast. So you just take on what you can chew at this point, but you don't say, I don't want it, because that's a vicious circle you can't get out.
Yeah, so fighting your own kind of resistance to taking on anything new is important.
And I think what helped is that David and I had many conversations. Okay, you want to do this? This is what I think. What can we do? And we came up with sort of a consensus. Mm-hmm. It's really team building. I think the days where nursing does their own thing or other people, I think those days are almost over. Like, if you don't work together, you won't survive.
So that's another tagline right there. If you don't work together, you won't survive. I like that. Yeah. Well, it's
we're really coming up with
this. I know, right? That's awesome. So let me just ask one last question, which is my favorite question to ask all my interviewees. What are you most proud of? Maybe we'll start with Maitri this time.
Yeah, Maitri.
I get to learn a lot about leading a project aside from just, you know, data collection abstraction. I get to engage with all the quality teams in the hospital, be part of these conversations. And like David mentioned earlier, I was very much part of the onboarding for MPACS. And I remember he used to call it quality cafes, where the goal of those meetings was to build relationships with people and, you know, get to determine the working groups and basically leading momentum up until, you know, we do the go live for the project. So I think it was a really great opportunity. And then when we got comfortable with that, we were able to move on to like monthly collaborative meetings with other hospitals participating. So there I got to meet other people outside of the institution and connect with them as well. I'm really proud of having a good team, especially our NESCWIP core team right now that's here on the call. Linda and David, they have been really supportive.
How about you, David? What are you most proud of?
Well, if I could, I'd just divide it into sort of an individual level and an organizational level. On an individual level, I would say I'm proud of the quality relationships that I've made over the last 6 years because of NESCWIP, because of our teams and projects. I'm appreciative of those people that maybe weren't as keen to get engaged, but allowed me to nudge them a little bit. and those that have, you know, still resisted, that we haven't lost, I haven't lost any relationships. So, I mean, I, at least I hope that's the case. And anybody that, you know, maybe that they, everybody realizes that we're just trying to make patient care better with our goals. So I'm proud of that. And on an organizational level, I'm proud of the fact that I work in an organization that 6 years ago, when NISQIP was sort of spreading across Ontario and across the country and beyond, North York General recognized that this was something that we wanted to be part of, and they supported the application. And equally, now that Impacts is also starting to sort of show up as a real exciting quality and opportunity for the province of Ontario, that again, the organization has said, go for it, you have our support. So that to me says, you know, something that I'm really proud to say. I work at North York General.
That's a really good recommendation. How about you, Linda?
Well, I think I'm proud of many things, but mostly our team, the team spirit, the outcomes, the data that we have. It's always good to see that all the work and has come to fruition. And also the collaboration, and I've worked in other hospitals, a collaboration in our culture at North York, which quality, you know, is part of our what we do day in and day out, and part of our tradition. And as David said, you know, always willing to get involved into new and new things. And I think I'm proud of the accomplishment during the pandemic and not losing ourselves in the crisis mode and staying focused on patient quality care and quality improvement. And I think for me, that was, that's what I really felt when I saw the one of the meetings where everything came together and everybody was so involved. You know, you really feel something that you go, this is why I come to work every day, you know, and look at people feeling energized by some of the outcomes that they've created and they could see. So for me, that's a bit of everything like that.
Kind of an antidote to burnout, right? A little bit.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Exactly. You need something to, you know, even out the burnout. But, and I'm going to quote Tim Rutledge, who used to be our CEO. He always said that North York had a secret sauce. But I'm starting to understand that he really did see it come out during this crisis. So, but thank you for asking.
You had asked the question about how would I recommend a team that was starting. One of the things that cannot be understated is the importance of having a champion. And Linda spoke of that about on our organizational team point of view, but also at the front line, finding that right person. There's two people that come to mind in our most recent, I mean, each time we've done a NISQIP campaign, we've always targeted multidisciplinary champions and let them join and lead. And that's really allowed us to grow out the team because it's a different person every time. Impacts, for instance, we had Antara Chatterjee, who is our research associate, and just brought all of her passions and all of her wisdoms and all of her knowledge about how to pull this off, and was hugely important in getting buy-in and onboarding it. And I must say that she was invaluable. And then on the front line, Peter Stotland, one of our surgeons, just sort of said, yeah, this is just going to be the way I do my surgical practice. I'm going to consent patients to surgery. And then as part of that consent, I'm going to enroll them in a trial. And that type of leadership, I think, from the front line, it really broke the ice to make the rest of us sort of say, oh, Dr. Stotland's doing it. This is happening. This could. So I think the importance of finding a champion and really letting them shine is important to any project.
Yeah. And if I may add, in nursing, the clinical lead was our clinical educator on the inpatient surgical floor, Kamal Patel, and she's done terrific work.
Thank you. Any closing remarks?
In some ways, the silver lining of the pandemic is that it forced us to look at these very human factors about the work we do and the quality work we do. And the reality is the pandemic made us say, yeah, people are going to get burned out. They're going to get unwell. They're going to need to be cared for. And we really should have always been leading with this when we do our quality work. It should be expected that there will be times where people have to pull back or lean in. And organizations, when we have people that either retire or take new jobs and there's gaps, like at North York General, what they've done so well is every time we've had a moment like that, the organization has been right there to support us through those gaps and allow us to keep going. So you don't fall down to like snakes and ladders all the way down to the beginning of where you started. So I think the pandemic legacy will be that we remember that quality is about empathy, not just for our patients, but for our teams.
Wise words and an excellent observation. I'm afraid we're going to have to end our discussion there. So thanks to my guest today from North York General Hospital, Dr. David Smith, Maitri Panchel, and Linda Jusson. This has been Surgical 411 with Pierrette Price-Arsenault, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you again.